Yeah, that is what it is. It's 4 minutes after six, and that signals that we am with David in the studio. And very good morning to you. And what do you have for us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Matthias. And how was your weekend? And good morning to our dear listeners.
My weekend was very, very well.
Yeah.
I had a very good sleep.
Yeah.
And when I came this morning, I'm very much refreshed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is what it is.
I think it's quite a very good thing. You know, I understand you.
Yeah.
But I still want to reach that stage also. When I say my weekend was good, I was sleeping the whole day. But yeah, today we'll be speaking about, we have to speak about academics because, you know, there have been a lot of, conversations, especially regarding what is the role of academics.
Yeah.
But today we're going to speak about academics, particularly in the area of lifelong learning.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to look at, what is the importance of continual learning? Because, you know, some of us, when you go to vocational training centers, we go to college. I just want that certificate. I get my job or I get my skill. I start doing business or I start doing what I can do best. But there are those who, continue learning. Continue to acquire those degrees, honors, masters, PhD, and there's also a postdoctorate after that. And we want to ask those questions to say, what is the necessity of those who go to school and also continue learning, and what are they contributing also to the national development? Because there have been a lot of argument to say, no, we have a lot of people who just own qualifications or who are just called professors and doctors, and they are not doing anything. But in any society, wherever you find yourself, and how civilization has been, they have always been academics.
Mm.
Even if you go to the history, there's always been those who are dealing with knowledge and also those who are known as guiders of wisdom. But in this case, especially those who are at in the mainstream academia, we're going to look at those questions and also see, to say, if you are a doctor or you are a professor, what is your contribution to national development? Because if you are a professor of economics, at least we expect you to do something. If you are a professor of business, if you are a professor within a technical field, especially in either it's engineering or any other field, we expect you to do something, either to innovate or do something. But we are going to look at that trying to say, what is the role of those guys who are in academia and so forth and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who are not well acquainted of what lifelong learning is, it's actually a voluntary and an ongoing pursuit of knowledge and skills throughout one's personal life, and not just through formal schooling, but it encompasses learning through personal growth, professional development, civic, social engagement, and this is very important to me as a researcher.
Yeah.
Because there are things which I learned.
Yeah.
From interviewing people.
Yeah.
And, only later on I realized, sure, a person who does research is a person who would have a lot of information.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that's.
Yeah, because, you know, on top of that, you know, when you speak about interviewing people, that's how people learn. And that is the center of research. People do, you know, when people are staying for many years at university, they are doing research. That is the main part of it. You do research, you dig information, you go deep into information and you interpret them. It's almost, the same thing, but that one is at a different level, but that is how people learn. But today I'm going to be joined by Dr. Sio Nikela. And we'll communicate technologically because he's outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, academicians are always in on the move.
Yeah.
Either you do presentation of papers, you acquire additional knowledge, additional training, so that you can teach people better, and also do you know, advance in your field, or maybe also to get ranks. You know that when you reach a level of professor at university, you did not even reach, because there are still levels of professor and there are still ranks. There's the tables that you cannot also sit in. But it's also quite interesting to see academia in the perspective of Africa, to say we have a lot of quite educated people in Africa, but what are they really doing? Today I'm going to hear from one of academicians, a young doctor in the field of environmental science and water, and we'll see how it's going to be at this point in time. But yeah, it's quite a conversation which need to be which have been long overdue also.
Well, one of the elements in self, in lifelong learning is actually self-motivation, which basically means individuals choose to learn based on their curiosity, interest, or professional goals. And on that note, I have to love you and leave you, and I trust that you are going to have a good listening. From myself, Matthias Angala, bye-bye for now. Join us every weekday for the Twilights between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out. Join us every weekday for the Twilights between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight, before the sun comes out.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange kashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala with the Twilight. And yeah, it's Monday, the 29th of September 2025. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 6. And this is your Economic Conversational Developmental Program with me, David Shombe. And we are operating from the hour of 6 until the hour of 8, this is where we discuss about issues. We discuss about critical issues of development, geopolitics, governance, trade, and everything that is affecting bread and butter. So wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from your number one talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. Wherever you are finding yourself, some of you are on your way to work, some of you are returning back home. Some of you are working, extra hours. And also some of you are still contemplating on what to do. What to do? What are you planning to do? What are you going, how your day is going to be? And, the fact that you are awake, we are always indicating to you that the fact that you are awake and the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, that is 1 point of 100, which means that you still need to end other points. It means that, when you are committed to learning, when you are committed to issues of development and issues of importance, it means that you want to contribute to national development. It means that you want to hear and learn and also see what role can you play. Because remember, wherever you are, whether you are employed, you are not employed, as long as you are part of the society, you are part of the economy. As long as you are part of the society, you are part of the economy. Either you are a productive actor, or either you are a least you know, productive actor, you are part of the economy, and you matter. So that's why do not underestimate what you can do. Do not underestimate what you can do, because the other time I gave an example of just a street kid who is begging in the street. If that person is bumped by a car and lost his life, there is already a gap in the economy. There is already an impact in, you know, the circle of money, how money is circulating, even the money that you give through donation. In that regard, it's already, you know, affected. So this is where we have those discussions. This is where we look at what are the politicians saying? What are the business people saying? And what are the consumers saying? So let's look at commercial break, then we move forward.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. Get 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal and Bokomo Fed Cook Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice as well as 500 grams grande pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID. The views and opinions expressed.
Yes, from USAID. We move forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated earlier, this is where we have main conversation. And what is very interesting about our conversation is that it's not a one-directed conversation. It's a conversation which is accommodative. We are giving you an opportunity to exercise your democratic rights and also freedom of expression to contribute to the main conversation and also to see what you can do and also what you can give out there, because we understand that it could be that you are a person who did more research about the topic that we are discussing about. It could be that you are an expert in the field, and we always value contribution. And that is how we learn, because we cannot build Namibia alone. We need those perspectives, those views, and so that we can learn from one another. So before we go to what we have on the table, as we are always indicating to say, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, make sure that for you not to miss out, like and share our page, Eagle FM Namibia, at all our social media platform. Just take that 1 minute, go to Facebook, look at Eagle FM Namibia, share that page, like, share it, and you will not miss out when it's coming to economic conversation and also economic developmental issues. Either it's Facebook, LinkedIn, X, and Instagram. Make sure that you like and share that page for you to be able not to miss out. And also those who are following you, not to miss out when it's coming to economic conversational programs and also economic updates, statistics, and also issues of bread and butter. And yeah, we also have the Villager newspaper. That is our e-paper. It's an economic paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with the Villager newspaper, you will not miss out when it's coming to content of economy, content of governance, content on development, and also content on trade and global affairs. So make sure that you share and you like the page of the Villager newspaper, and make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper. What you can do, just send your name to this number, and also save it as your WhatsApp contact detail. That is 081-241-44, 081-241-44. Save that number and send your full name, and you'll be able to receive the Villager newspaper every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and also every Friday morning. It's a soft copy, and you will not miss out. We are always indicating to say, if you are a researcher, you are an academician, make sure that part of your sources of information is the Villager newspaper, because that is where you get your point of departure when you want to expand in your research, when you want to expand in your paper, and also when you want to get the new insight on what is happening in terms of economic intelligence, what is happening in terms of development issues, and what is happening in terms of governance. So make sure that you use the Villager newspaper and you not miss out. And the other thing, there are also those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected? And also, what is happening? Sometimes we are connected to the frequency, sometimes we are not connected. We are indicating to you that we find a better and smart way of you following and also you getting connecting with us. Make sure that you download Eagle FM app. Go to Play Store go to App Store, then you download the Eagle FM app, and when you download the Eagle FM app, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air at that point in time. And what is very interesting is also that you can also be able to listen to the previous programs through the podcast. So download the app and you will not miss out, because in some situation where you find yourself, even outside the country, we are always indicating those who, you know, you travel wherever you find yourself, as long as you are connected to internet, you will be able to listen to the news and programs at home, and we'll be able to update you uninterrupted wherever you find yourself, whether you are in Beijing, you are in Singapore, you are in Tehran, New York, Bahamas, wherever you find yourself. As long as you are connected and you have an app, then you will not miss out. The other thing is also that you can be able to download Himba app. Himba app is a digital version of hymn book. It's a digital version of a hymn book. In a situation that you find yourself at a place where you are required to sing, you are required to sing from a hymn book, or you are required to give respect and using a hymn book, whether you are in church, you are at a graduation or at a wedding, and you don't have a hard copy hymn book, do not worry, because we got you in the extent that when you download Himba app, it's easy for you to access the hymn book in various Namibian languages. So in Oshuambo, you can find your Ehangano, you can find your Omaimburiro, that is Ochierero, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So use Himba app and you make your life more easier. The other thing is also that we are always advising and indicating to you that if you want to expand your business, if you want to make more return in terms of your customer, market your product and services, make sure that you talk to our marketing manager so that you can be able to buy airtime on air, so that you can be able to buy time on air by talking to me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400, 083-288-400. When you do that, you'll be able also to get airtime on air. Then you market and advertise your product and services, and you can be able to reach large number of customers. That's why we are always telling you to say money invested in advertisement is money on the way back to you with interest, because with the coverage of Eagle FM, with the access to the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to get your clients, you'll be able to get your potential customers, and you will be able to expand your revenue through advertising. Make time and communicate with Monica Ipinge so that you can be able to buy airtime on air, and also you can buy or you can have a space with the Villager newspaper for advertisement of your product. So contact me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-401, and you get the result that you desired, and you can be able to expand your business and recruit more people, because businesses must grow, business must grow and also be impactful in the community. So it's 22 minutes past the hour of 6. We are progressing at an understandable pace with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8 a.m. So let us pay the bills, then we'll look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, what is happening in Namibia, before we go to the main conversation for today, to say, what are we going to conversate about today? What is the real conversation of today? And what lesson can we learn from this conversation? So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu Oma filane Eagle FM the eye
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other
station. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at what is happening around the continent, what is happening in Africa, and also what is happening in the world in terms of economy and in terms of trade. You know, it was indicated that the government of Botswana and also the business community have decided to look for alternatives in terms of trade. They've decided to look for alternative in terms of trade, looking at the analysis and also the evaluation of the impact of U.S. Tariffs on Botswana. That is why Botswana government, together with the business community, they are looking at the alternative form of trading partners apart from United States of America. You know, this is coming after the implementation of tariffs or global tariffs that impacted many countries around the world, which includes African countries, South Africa, Namibia, Lesotho, and many other African countries. So it was indicated that after careful evaluation, Business Botswana CEO Nomen Molele stated that the country, is looking at trade disputes as a turning point in trade relation with the U.S. and also realize that, this impact, although they look like they are at a lower scale compared to others, they have direct impact in terms of employment, value, expansion, and also in terms of return on sales. So Mr. Molere stated is that if you are unable to export what you manufacture, in which we thought we would create employment, certainly then employment will be affected. And they indicated that they are negotiating with other countries, especially China, to look at how things are going to be. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is that moving from the west to the east, is it going to be a right choice? Is it going to be the right choice? Because the argument on the table is that the United States is not treating us well, especially from the Botswana perspective. Then they say, no, we are still negotiating with China to look at the alternatives. The question is that which trade partner is for the best interest of your country. Which trade partner is for the best interest of your country? Is it right to move from one trade partner to another trade partner? Or is it also important to look at self-assessment and see what is that the country can do? What is that the country can do to make sure that it has capitalized on its minerals, capitalized on its products, and also expand? And because the argument here is that China is the best alternative because China is in support of Africa, continental free trade area. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself is that when Botswana is looking at China, and because China is supporting Africa continental free trade area, what lesson can we learn from this? And to what extent is Africa continental free trade area, is supported? Because one thing that you need to ask yourself is that when Africa continental free trade area is intensified and is fully functioning, Africa will become so powerful to that extent that it will become global competitive. And to whose interest is Africa becoming powerful and global competitive? Who's going to be threatened by that? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Or is Africa going to be at a level where we are trading with China at an equal international standard, where we are trading with the whole world at equal international standard? Or how are these things going to be? So that is the news which is coming from Botswana, and it's also up to us to evaluate that, to see what else can we do, because remember, when Botswana is doing like this, I have seen that again, that Ronald Lamola, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation in South Africa, is still indicating that they are still in negotiation with the US regarding the proposed bills of excluding South Africa from AGOA extension, because we only have a few hours before AGOA is either extended or is not extended, and we see how African countries are also going to behave post 30 September. And let us look at Botswana first, then we look at South Africa.
Botswana is stepping up efforts to diversify its economy as steep U.S. tariffs erode the competitiveness of its exports. The country's main chamber of commerce says the levies reduced in August to between 10% and 15% after diplomatic talks remain high enough to hurt sales and threaten jobs.
To export what we manufacture and which we thought would create employment, certainly then employment will be affected. We are negotiating, we're looking for alternative markets. We're talking to countries like China. We are part of the Africa Free Trade Area. We are finding markets, or developing markets in different areas of the world, to see to it that there are alternatives that we can rely on.
Officials say talks with China and opportunities under the African Continental Free Trade Area could cushion the blow.
Yeah, that is what's happening in Botswana. That is what's happening in Botswana, especially regarding the aspect of tariff, and also to look at what other things need to be done in order to make sure that when it comes to Botswana economy, or when it's coming to continuation of trade, then at least one or two things could have been clarified well, especially when it's coming to saving of jobs, and also, maintaining the trade relations with United States and also with other trading partners. Because what is very interesting is that when tariffs is imposed in imposed to South Africa, when tariff is imposed to Botswana, when tariff is imposed to Namibia, it's going to affect the whole trade balance of SADC economy. It's also going to affect the whole trade balance of SACU, even impacting the intra-African trade, because these countries have to go to their drawing boards and also have to adjust and also discuss with their business people to say, you were selling this product at this amount, now you also need to pay us tax at this amount, this is what you need to sell, this is how you can adjust. But if you see a country such as Botswana stating that after a diplomatic talks and coming to the point of 10 to 15% tariffs, there is still huge impact on employment and also on returns, then something that need to be looked at. And just recently, Ronald Ramura, the diplomat in South Africa, or the head of Ministry of International Relations, the minister Ronald Ramura, concludes US visit. He was in the United States of America in order to make sure that you discuss with you know, the US diplomats, especially in areas of trade, and also see how you, South Africa can continue trading with the United States of America, and also how to lower down the tariffs and also allow continuation of trade, because you know the relationship between South Africa and United States of America have been you know, up and down, and it became so sour, especially when the former ambassador of South Africa was declared persona non grata from the United States of America and was sent home. And we have also seen early this year when Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, had to go and negotiate with Donald Trump regarding you know, weakening of diplomatic relations and also impact of U.S. punishment on South Africa, to the economy of South Africa, to the business community, and also to SADC region. As you know, that South Africa is a main trading partner of SADC, more than 70% of South Africa trade is not with SADC. That a little below 30% is what is holding the whole SADC. And we need to put that into consideration. Let us see what Ronald Ramura, the Minister of International Relations and Trade from South Africa, is to say, especially regarding the visit to United States of America, and also see what will happen moving forward, because we depend on these negotiations, because otherwise we also have to suffer indirectly the impact of this you know, sour relationships, which you know, finding it very difficult, or which is becoming very difficult to conclude. And let us look at this news before we move forward.
At this hour, Minister of International Relations Ronald Lamola's wrapped up his working visit in the U.S. by addressing the African Diaspora Forum in Washington. The event was organized by the American Black Caucus in the Congress. The South African delegation was in the U.S. and had a number of meetings with stakeholders in that country, as South Africa is now escalating its diplomatic efforts.
But we are here standing very strong, continuing with the correct agenda of ensuring that the richness of our diversity enables all South Africans, black and white, colored and Indians, all are able to participate in a society, building a society, South Africa, where everyone can participate. But we do not only work for South Africa, because we are in the African continent. We are also seized with the agenda of Pan-Africanism, of building an integrated African economy through what is called the African Union Flagship Program, Africa Free Trade Area, where African countries, because of colonialism, cannot trade together. Can you believe it? Sometimes when you have to go to some parts of the continent, you must start in Europe and then fly back to Africa.
South Africa is going through a particular level of persecution.
Yeah.
We have to stand and fight for South Africa. And didn't it make us so proud when we saw our president, the Honorable Ramaphosa, look Mr. Donald Trump eye to eye and tell him, I'm sorry, I don't have a plane for you.
Yeah, just to give you an overview of what's happening, because United States of America is trying its best to make sure that when it comes to a new pack of African Growth and Opportunity Act, South Africa is excluded, especially regarding the bills which were proposed at the U.S. Congress. But what you need to remember is that one of the things that politicians do, especially if you want to influence decisions, is what is called public diplomacy, where they have to go and speak with interested parties and also seek assistance. Because in the U.S. Congress, there is what we call Black Caucus, that is it's a body which is also part of the legislatures, and in this case they look at the rights and interests of black people and also interests of black Africans. That is why Ronald Lamora have to go to and speak to these lawmakers, especially from Congress, the Black Caucus in the U.S. Congress, to have influence and also to assist in blocking that decision of excluding either SA or South Africa from the new pack of AGOA, and also to relax the tariffs which are currently at 30%, That's why at the end of the day, you need influence. You need influence from both sides to see what else you can do, because it's a world of trade war. It's a world of trade war. If Botswana is moving, looking at the other way, and also other African countries are looking for alternatives, it's quite a very interesting thing to look at. Because when you look at, for example, what have happened with the chief of World Trade Organization, what she stated, what Dr. Kozi have stated, is that it's time for reform. It's time for reform. The institution must reform to make sure that it protects the business people, and it also give out predictability. Because at the end of the day, when you have trades happening around the world, especially at the international market, you have a referee. That is the World Trade Organization, which setting the rules and also standard and also ethical principles in international trade, and also deal with disputes such as this. But the Director General stated that it's the member state of World Trade Organization who have power to amend and also protect the global economy, which faced recession, especially looking at the crippling of economy due to the U.S. Tariffs and also global realignment. So let us move forward before we look at what we have on the table. Before you look at what we have on the table, as I indicated, today we're going to speak about academia. And we also have those who have questions to say, man, why do these guys spend a lot of time at university? Why are you guys not tired of studying? Are you guys not tired of going to university? What is the use of being a professor in Namibia? What is the use of being, a doctor? What is the role of these people? And how can they do their job best? Are their role just to teach, or they have other things that are important to do? Because academia have been questioned for quite long, and we have also asked questions to say, why do we have a lot of educated people and they are not fixing our economy, or what is their role really? But today I'm going to be joined by Dr. Sione Kera, who is gonna speak about the importance of lifelong learning, academic excellence, and also their contribution to national development. So stay tuned, We are here until the hour of 8.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoe kike kovano hile koshiwala Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka Okwene ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatimwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari Ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu Oma felane Eagle FM the eye
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated, we'll speak to Dr. Sio Nikela, especially to speak about lifelong learning and some of the questions that we engage him regarding to say, why does academic excellence matters? Why does academic excellence matters in personal and national development? And also, you know, there's always questions to say, when one completed a certificate or a degree or a diploma, that is an end. Why should we encourage persuasion of knowledge? Why should we encourage persuasion of knowledge? And why should we study, even if the market is not accepting us? Is it relevant to continue educating ourselves even if the market is not accepting those who went to school? And also the question that we need to ask ourselves is that what is the importance of academic education beyond jobs and other status? Because at the end of the day, there must be standards set. And also, what is the main role of academicians in national development? What is that they can contribute to national development? We'll be joined by Dr. Ikera and to unpack that and also to answer those questions, especially regarding to academics. And he's not a medical doctor, he's a doctor by academia. He's a PhD holder. In the area of sustainable development and also environmental management. And he's a dean at International University of Management at the same faculty. But let us look at that.
Yes, good morning, Shobe, and good morning, fellow Namibians. I am happy to join you today to digest some of the issue pertaining to the academic excellency. First, I want to appreciate Anger FM for continuing to have conversation that is closer to the people. Of course, academic excellency is very, very important because if you are not doing good or doing the great job in your work, actually wherever you are, be it in academic or outside academic, then you are actually doing a disservice to yourself, because you are not exhibiting the talents that you are bestowed with. It's therefore very important that wherever we are doing our best. We are ensuring that we keep in, equipping ourselves with the latest information, with the latest skill and knowledge, so that you are able to converse with the fellow colleagues in academics or with your student. Therefore, personal development is very, very important. It's an ongoing thing if you want to be afloat in discharging your work. And if we understand issues, contemporary issues, of course, from the context of what has been happening before, it will be easier for us to ensure that we know the current affairs, and when we teach and engage, we are able to provide proper guidance, proper advices, proper information, and ensure that our space is actually very well informed, and then you'll be able to provide informative guidance. I would also like to touch on the issue of why we have to keep studying so that we don't actually stay behind. It's very, very important that from time to time you either you do research or you study. It's very important. This is very important because if we do not study, you will not be competitive with your peers. So it's very important that we take education very serious. Education is a lifelong process or commodity that we have to be engaged in to actually obtain or gain skills that are relevant at that time. For example, I might sound individualistic, but I want to use this example. I have decided to do my second PhD in energy resources and technology. This one, I have decided to do so because I have realized that our country is actually taking the energy, be it renewable energy or fossil energy, in the view of the effort that our government or our country is making in oil discovery. Now we need people that are conversant enough with this subject, so that when investors are coming to our country, we have people that speak from the authority of knowledge. And that is the reason why I decided to do this PhD, in order to equip myself with the happenings in that sector, for me to understand and help my country to be ready for this venture. Therefore, it's very, very important that we continue to study, because there's no limit in terms of banking knowledge, banking skills. This will help advancing the national development agenda of our country. A country with a well-educated human capital is a rich country, because you are then able to even export some of your skills to countries that need them. And then you are able to make money out of this. I don't know whether our country is actually benefiting from this, but I know there are countries out there that use their human capital to actually make money for their own country. For example, you have countries like Germany with a high population of old people. This country, Germany, need people, young people, to work. But then how do people go and work there? It's when we have a well-educated nation in the field and area that this country is out there, is in need with. So, and also, the reason why it's very important that we keep educating ourselves is actually for us to be on the loop. We must not lag behind in terms of new skills and new development. You will see that if you study, maybe you completed your study early 2000. Now it's very, very important to do a course that is actually focusing on contemporary issues that are relevant in our country. Because now, if you look at our country, the new administration is actually focusing on energy, agriculture, sport, creative industry. So these are the and fisheries. These are the important sector that one need to make sure that we keep informing ourselves with relevant information, with relevant technology, with relevant models that are relevant in managing this sector. For example, GIS and remote sensing are actually now central in the management of many of the resources. So how do we equip ourselves with this is when we study. Therefore, it's very important that from time to time, we take education serious to make sure that we are at the same wavelength of what is happening in the world. Yeah, it's very important that we do not get discouraged because of the economy. The high unemployment rate can be high, but when you are educated, it's very easier at least to compete out there. And education cannot be determined by unemployment rate. Of course, it's very important that we study qualifications that are actually needed in the job market. Therefore, when we decide to study, we must always look at the demand out there in the job market. But I want to encourage the Namibian people and everybody listening to me that the challenges of unemployment will always be there. However, it is important to make sure that you educate yourself. For you to be competitive, to compete with your peers, to compete with people in the sectors of your, or the field of your study. When you are educated, that is a guarantee that you, one of the good day opportunity lies, you will be able to compete and actually succeed. There is not a country where you can go in the world where there are no challenges, including unemployment. But it is just important that we educate ourselves, we equip ourselves with the skills to build our nation, because sometimes if you are well educated, you can even start your own consulting company. You consult with local people or at the international arena. But you cannot do that if you are not educated. Therefore, just like the founding father used to say, an educated nation is able to fight poverty, disease, and ignorance. Now, if we say our decision is informed by economic factors like unemployment, when are we going to be equipping ourselves with the necessary skills? I also want to state that the Namibian academics have the role to make sure that we guide our nation. Because if we are not guiding them, who will do that on our behalf? We have got a bigger role to ensure that we set the agenda and we inform the national discourse on many subjects are critical to the development of our nation. We should do research, and this research will inform the decision of politicians. We should be able to do research so that we advise the nation. We should be able to do research so that we find solutions to the critical issues facing our nation. For example, recently there is a failed fire outbreak in Etosha National Park. As academics, we have the responsibility to make sure that we actually help our government and the nation, because Etosha is a national heritage. And if it is to be destroyed by failed fire, then it speaks volume that there is something we are not doing. Therefore, as academics, we need to come in now and do research, do the assessment, and see what is lacking in terms of fire management in Etosha National Park. Because there is one thing that keep bothering me, that Etosha is supposed to be an example to the rest of the country in terms of preparedness and response to disasters. And if we are failing to contain fire in Etosha for the last maybe past 4 days, then really there's something. And as academics, we need to come in to make sure that we assist our Etosha National Park in terms of preparedness and response to disaster. So one thing I want to highlight is that as academics, we need to ensure that we position ourselves and we take our rightful position in the national development agenda to ensure that we give the right information, the current information, to make sure that we give evidence-based advices to our leaders in coming up with plans and development strategies. This will help them to know the challenges out there and how to overcome them and the resources needed. Ours as academics is just not about training. It should be about training, research, and community engagement. Therefore, I encourage and urge my colleagues in the academic space to ensure that we involve ourselves in research if we are to help building this beautiful country, our motherhood, the country where we were born, because we have nowhere to go if we are not involved in the development of this country. Then we are actually failing ourselves and failing this nation. To this end, I want to encourage everyone to take education serious, to take reading serious. Let us read extensively, intensively, and indiscriminately, so that we are able to converse, so that we are able to advise, so that we are able to actually direct the national discourse. Thank you, Inger FM, for having me. I would like to again salute you for always reaching to me in order to share my view with the nation. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes, that is a word of an academic. That is Dr. Ikera from International University of Management. He indicated that academic persuasion or continued learning shall be not or should not be disencouraged regardless of the economy, because he indicated that academics are not only for training, but they must research, they must do community engagement, and they must also be able to solve challenges. He indicated that he's doing a second PhD. And just to understand that, there is no limitation in terms of knowledge acquisition. There is no limitation in terms of knowledge acquisition. And it's how we use the knowledge that we get from the institution. And he mentioned the very important aspect of updating ourselves with current happenings so that we can be able to respond to the current challenges, and also to be competitive in terms of the market that we are in, to be competitive in terms of the area that we are in, and also understand what new things are happening. And one of the things that is mentioned is that when you have an educated people, you have educated people, you can also use them as human capital. You can also use them to gain money, because a human is one of, or a person is one of the very important, value in the economy. Because imagine you have a country without any natural resources, but you have strong human capital who are educated. These people will be able also to go and work in other countries and generate foreign currency in your country and expand your economy. And the other thing that he mentioned is also to inform politicians. I'm saying this with much respect, but it's what it is. It's very easy for somebody to be a counselor or a governor or a minister, but it's very difficult for anybody to be a technocrat or to work in that minister's, or to be a director within a certain ministry. Because at one point somebody need the experience, somebody need intensive education, somebody need additional training, and somebody need to be capacitated on the current issues and how to respond to challenges. That is why if you go to college, you go to university, you also find those, it's not only young people, you find elders, you find people who are, you know, they are with their kids at university. Why are they doing that? Because they want to be competitive. They want to be competitive. They want to learn. They find the necessity of continuous learning because, just like a car, if you are not putting on new oil, if you are not putting on, you know, new tires, it will not be able to keep up with the competition. It will not be able to keep up with the road because things are changing and, education should not be disencouraged. And that is the word of an academics. And the other, it was supposed to be this way. Academia, politics, business, and NGO. Academics were supposed to do research, come up with data, work together with the think tanks. Then they give this data to politicians. Politicians are leaders who make decisions based on data and also respond to the needs of the people. Because it's not correct if I'm campaigning to be a politician, a councillor or local or regional authority or MP, and I'm telling people that I'm going to respond to your needs, but I don't know how many you are. I do not have data. I do not have statistics of that constituency. How many young people are here? How many adults are here who need assistance? How many schools are in this area? And what is the means of survival of these people? And how many of people depend on social grant, and how many of these people, you know, depends on, you know, business, and how many of these people are employed and unemployed? We can only get that if you do research, if you have data. And life was supposed to be made easier by those in academia to say it's not only about if you are a professor of statistics and statistics, mathematics, sociology, development studies, economics. Yes, part of your job is training people. Give them content and knowledge. Training young economists and young statisticians. But one of your area is continue expanding your knowledge and also national development through research and development. You're supposed to actually not given a fund by an institution, source for funds so that you can expand your research. Guide your student to do real research, not only research to complete their qualification, real research which when they are done, they have solved a certain problem. Because that time at university, you just finish that research, it must be done. Somebody can just do a research as long as it's academically sound. Not really research which are solving real problems, but the research which is just academic sound. But how it was supposed to be is that when you are guiding somebody, when you are teaching student business, management and business administration, those research were supposed to be business already. By the time they are done, they are supposed to start implementing. And that was supposed to be the case. Politicians get informed decision from informed data from academics. Then they implement. Then they make decisions because they understand what is happening. So even policy making will be more easier. Amendment of act will be more easier because I was at MVA Fund workshop and they gave a very brilliant presentation. They said, oh, one of the area they are looking at is R&D, which I understand because that is where the country is going, research and development. Even at NDP6, they indicate that they are going to increase the investment in research and development. And one of the things that I've seen quite not very clear is when you have an amendment of an act, especially in area where you have levies, a correction of levies from vehicles which are using petrol fuels. But you don't have a specific clear act which is indicating how EVs are going to be charged, although they are already contributing to National Energy Fund. But there is no CREA Act, and one of the presentation indicate that no, this is still not part of our case. It's still not part of the discussion. Then the question you're asking yourself is that, where is our legal researchers, and what is the contribution of legal researchers to national development if you are not advising and informing to say, if you are amending the act, at least EVs are already on their way. For you not to bring this complication, why can't you make that part of the amendment act with, for you not to complicate things, because we have already complicated acts. Imagine we have best lawyers in Namibia. We have best lawyers in Namibia. We can argue about that. But how complicated our acts, how contradictory our act. Look at the PEGA Act. It's frozen now because it's not corresponding to the needs. The more you bring that act into operation, the more people are starting fighting each other everywhere, every day. So that's why academicians were supposed to provide guidance to say, guys, you are making laws. Here are the new development in academia. Here are the new findings within that legal framework. You are looking for statistics. These are new methods and new models of statistics. Let us find better ways of statistics. Let us integrate technology in statistics. And let us use statistics to make national project easier. Because had we had good coordination between academicians and lawmakers and implementers, you would not be able to have this uncoordinated election that we had. Because people were just guessing to say, at this particular point in time, there will be a certain amount of people in this area. That's why you need to put these ballot papers here. Because there's no proper research. Had we had good researchers and also academicians which are working together with those who are implementing of national project, it will be more easier. It will be more easier to predict. It will be more easier to use technology and see how many people are going to be away at a certain point in time, and what is the capacity of a region, what is the time of the year, and how many people are working there, what is the probability that at that constituency there will be 1,000 people. So that you not waste resources and fuels. Do you know that good data save resources, fuels, and energy when they are applied correctly? So let us look at Imska Ngonya. He's a postgraduate researcher, and he's also speaking shortly about the importance of lifelong learning, why continuous learning is important, and what is the contribution of continuous learning to national development.
Well, it is very important for one to further their study after they've attained their undergraduate qualification, whether it's a certificate, whether it's a diploma or an honors degree, because number one, it allows you to deepen your knowledge and skills, because an undergraduate degree, it only provides you with a basic foundation in that field, but if you opt to further your study, it then allows you to go beyond what you have studied or what you have attained during your undergraduate. Secondly, it also allows you to specialize into a specific area. For example, there are some courses like medicines. If you study medicines, your first undergraduate degree in medicine is just a general degree in medicine. But if you want to focus on a specific area, perhaps to become a skin doctor or maybe a heart doctor, then you have to specialize in order for you to become a dermatologist or for you to become a cardiologist, you then need to specialize in that specific course where you are only focusing on skin, or you are only focusing on a heart if you want to become a cardiologist. Thirdly, it also gives you a better opportunity in terms of career opportunities, because if you have a postgraduate, you stand a better chance than a person who have an undergraduate, because you have a higher qualification than a person who just have a first degree. So in that terms, in terms of employment, you stand a better chance because your qualification skills is higher than that of an undergraduate or that of a first qualification. It's also important because it gives you a better opportunity in terms of compensation. So a person with a higher qualifications or with a postgraduate stand a good chance in terms of compensation, that because they'll be highly compensated than a person with a degree or an undergraduate. Because even when it comes to, especially in private sectors and parastatals, employers, they provide these opportunities where a candidate can negotiate with the employer in terms of their salaries. So if you have a postgraduate, then you stand a better chance to negotiate for a better salary and or even to acquire a higher paying job than a person who have an undergraduate degree. So it's very important to encourage further studying after attaining undergraduate qualifications, even in this era where unemployment is high. We have graduates with their undergraduate but they are still unemployed. It could be discouraging in terms of further studying, but we can also not discourage academic educations, because in this era, most of the careers or most of jobs, they require some certain skills, some certain knowledge that can be only acquired through academic qualifications, or that can be only acquired through studying. So it should be encouraged regardless of the situations. And also, I believe that learning is an endless journey. So in whatever we do on our daily basis, one should always continue learning regardless of the situation, whether it's learning in academic or just self-educating yourself, just to sharpen up your skills and to upskill your knowledge in whatever area that you are interested in. But briefly, it is important to further your study, because it deepens your knowledge, it allows you to specialize into a specific course or a specific area, it gives you better opportunity in terms of employments, it gives you better opportunity in terms of compensations, and there are just so many benefits in upgrading your qualifications.
Yes, that was Imskangoya. Imskangoya is one of the postgraduate researchers, and he underscored the importance of continuous learning. Continuous learning, whether it's postgraduate or whether it's continual learning within your specific field. And one of the things which which is stated, is as it was stated by Dr. Sion to say, you become competitive. You become competitive because if you find yourself in a situation where you do not have anything to do and you are a graduate and you have an opportunity to learn when you get a scholarship, go and study. Because even the fact that you are resilient and you continue to learn, you will meet people. Because one of the things that you do is that you will meet people. People that you are meeting in academia, those are your variable, people that you are going to work with in the future. That's why the importance of networking, we are not taught about these things to say. Network is number one area that we need to do. Make sure that you have friends. Make sure that you are connected to people so that they don't just give you opportunities, but they also give you ideas. Because there is where you are going to meet people who have experience of 20 years about something that you are struggling with. That is why it's always important to be with in a positive environment, especially when you are in academia. And also continue learning. If you don't have time, there are people who learn through experience. There are people who learn through reading of books. There are people who learn through, practical experience. But lifelong learning is what is at the center of human development. And nobody should be discouraged. Nobody should be discouraged when it comes to learning. Nobody should be discouraged when it's coming to that. So we have around 35 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. It's 25 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are speaking about the importance of lifelong learning. The importance of lifelong learning, either is academia, either is continue learning after university, after grade 12, after you drop out to continue studying. You find those... And there's one guy who I'm not going to mention his name who, you know, he impressed me so much that, even if he's a, those guys that you call is a struggle, those guys that you call is a hustler to say, with his business that he's doing at the location, he continued to upgrade his skills, his specific field, in the field of IT, he continued to go to school. And I'm so impressed to say, you are running this business. And you are still educating yourself. And little did I know that this guy has better customer relations like any other of his competitors, because not only the skills that he got through experience, but also learning about human relations, learning about human interaction through additional courses, and it's also easier for his business. That's why the aspect of continuation of learning should not and should never be encouraged. Either is postgraduate or either is general lifelong learning. Dear listeners, it's 27 minutes past the hour of 7. And just for your own information, the Villager newspaper for the Monday of the 29th of September is out. The Villager newspaper is out. And it's quite very crucial to look at it and also get to the content of what is happening. Because if you look at the front page of the Villager newspaper, it's quite an interesting article on energy transition pose threat to oil and gas traders. Energy transition pose threat to oil and gas trader, and you need to go deep into that. What do we mean by energy transition? What do we mean when you speak about oil and gas traders, especially looking at the context that we are, especially looking at the context that we are, and also how we are going to reach our national developmental goals, and just to be up to date on what's happening. And remember, looking at economic affairs, as we indicate that we are always giving you what is necessary at this point in time. There's also an article on central government, or Namibian government actually, to borrow 2.3 billion this October. Where are they going to borrow money from? What is the money going to be used for? It's up to you to go and read that. And also to look at what was Namibia borrowing plan? What was Namibia borrowing plan? Because in the eve of presentation of national budget, there was a very well drafted national borrowing plan by BON, where it stated that Namibia would to supplement the budget would borrow around 29 billion at this financial year to support the national budget. So that is something that we need to look at. And we also need to look at how much do we owe the world and how much are we going to pay the world. And let us look at the Namibian Mills, then we can come back.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional right.
Yeah. We are moving forward. As I indicated that we are looking at the Villager newspaper. What is inside the Villager newspaper? We have already indicated the front page of energy transition post threat to oil and gas traders. It's up to you to look at what is the Ministry of Energy saying, and also what is the future of Namibian oil. Then we look at 2.3 billion to be borrowed by central government, this national government, this October. Where is the money going to be borrowed from? What is the money going to be used for? And also maybe to compare with how much is presented with the national budget, especially when it was presented this year by the Minister of Finance, that is Meme Erika Shafuda, the budget of 106 billion Namibian dollars, and how this was fragmented, and what is Namibia borrowing plan. And also the borrowing plan must also look at the economic situation that we are in, and also compare it also with the domestic economic outlook, because your planning is looking at various aspects. When the government is presenting its national budget, it's not only about the money which is available, it's also not about what it want to solve. It also need to put into consideration what is happening around the world. What is the impact of the global unpredictability events on the national budget? And also, how should you assist people and also at the same time make money? Because it's a give. It's like a give and take. And it's also based on probabilities and also a lot of predictions involved, because budgeting and planning of national issues does not only require money to be there, like you are making your personal budget to go and buy. There is unforeseen circumstances, and it's also what we need to look at. So that's why it's important to look at the Villager newspaper and read that article. And when you go deep into the Villager newspaper, you can also be able to see the Wawishia University. There is advertisement of application program, especially within the health science. Look at that. And if you want to be relevant, especially if you're in the field of health, look at the postgraduate diploma in mental health. Look at the postgraduate diploma in mental health. Look at nursing and midwife. Look at the Bachelor of Social Work. These are most needed courses in Namibia, especially considering the aspect of mental health and need for psychological and emotional support look at the environmental health science, get pharmacy, and quite beautiful courses offered there. Make time and read the Villager newspaper. And also, there is also an article on the president of Namibia, who is advocating for fair financial order. He's advocating for fair financial order. And look at what the president has to say. The president has to say, especially in the United States. The Council of Foreign Relations Events. What are some of the key points that the president of Namibia spoke about, especially looking at that context of financial order, and also the aspect of trade. And yeah, also inside the Villager newspaper, you may be able also to look at Otapi Town Council avoiding 9.5 hectare for flexible land tenure, and how many hectares were availed, and also the importance of building of houses. But for you to get deep into it, you need to read the Villager newspaper. There's a quite a beautiful article again by Anakelta Haikela, who look at Rundu Trade Forum, which raised more than half a million dollars, and it's quite interesting economic news to look at, There's always content on International University of Management, and look at International University of Management alumni and civil servants, know them, and also make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. Yeah, and you go deep, there's also service offered by Marite Technologies. You need to look at that, such as web design, fleet management, mobile app, IT consultancy, enterprise software development, and also web maintenance. And with Marite Technologies, that is what is being offered. And do not miss out, because there is also aspect of vehicle GPS tracking device, and this is real-time location tracking, out-town notification, driver's behavior reports, and also geofencing. Because if you have a business, you have a vehicle that is this, when you are not there, the driver is are not able to track the driver, or he go out with the vehicle, be able to get this service, by contacting +264 083 288 400 083 288 400, then it will be easier for you, to GPS track your vehicle, and also protect your business. Maybe you only have one taxi, but you want to trace it, you want to track it, and you also want to protect it from being stolen. It's easy for you to use that service, and you make your life more easier, and your business effective, and save time, money, and energy. Because with smart technology, everything will go according to standard. So, 38 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 20 minutes there before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. When you do that, you are on air. You give your opinion, you give your view, give your contribution ask your questions, because your opinion always matters, especially to those who are listening, especially to those who need your assistance and input based on the conversation that you are bringing about, because at the end of the day, we must educate one another, and we must also learn from you. So you can engage us at 083-288-401.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nwe kutete opo yue ekukulile Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo Iho etike kovano hile koshuala Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nune uto otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushe ndife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM Onora etapimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile ko mderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu O mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Yeah, it's 42 minutes past the hour 7, and we are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and today we continue to have a conversation regarding the importance of academics, the importance of lifelong learning, why it is matters to continue learning, why do people stay many years at university, many years at college acquiring qualification? What is the necessity of those qualifications to national development? And there is also a bit of misunderstanding and also views to say, why do you guys go to university? Why do you guys have a lot of PhD holders? But the problems of the country are still continuing. That is a question that we're supposed to be asked. But maybe the right question that we should also ask is that what is the relationship between stakeholders in a state when it comes to development? Because an academician alone without a very good coordination with those who have power, especially to make political decisions and also to impact the national project, will be not of value. And how do we bring that coordination? Because let's take the caller. Hello? Hello?
Morning, how are you?
Good, how are you saying?
I'm still operating on the radio these days. I can't catch you.
Come again?
I don't catch your radio station this time.
Where are you? Where are you?
I'm calling from Gatima.
You are calling from Gatima, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you are not able to be connected with a frequency, are you aware of Eagle FM app?
Yeah.
Or are you using Eagle FM app?
No.
Oh, okay, maybe if you are not connected to the frequency, because when the frequency is fluctuating, it's always better to use Eagle FM app. Just download it and you will catch us.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Yes, if you find yourself in Katima, and you are not able to be connected, through the radio, do not worry. Do not worry, because we have Eagle FM app that is catch you wherever you are in Namibia and outside. That is why when you go to Play Store, App Store, download the Eagle FM app, then you can get connected with us. Let's take the caller. Hello?
Yes, John, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
I'm great.
Mm.
What do we have today in the menu?
Today we are speaking about the importance of lifelong learning. What is the importance of academics in national developments? Why do we have a lot of professors, and what is their role in national development?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
Early in the morning, I heard you talking about Trump's tariff or something like that. No problem.
That is global news. We can also touch on that. We were speaking about Botswana looking the other way, apart from USA, to look for tariffs because they are to look for trade partners, because they are saying even if they negotiated to 15% and 10, their employment is still impacted and they can still not make enough profit.
Last Friday when I spoke to you, you asked me questions. Where's the future?
No, I think they are listening to you.
Yeah, and then I told you.
Yeah.
The future is in trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically that is what I told you.
Yeah, indeed. I can remember correctly.
Yeah, BRICS is consists of 10 countries.
Yeah.
And also 10 partners of BRICS. And BRICS accounts to 55% of the world's demography, populations, let me say. The joint GDPs of BRICS surpass that of the collective West and the G7 together.
Yes, okay.
You understand
that? I hear you.
Yeah. So, when India was imposed about 50% of tariffs, 25% plus the other one they had it already, and they were negotiating to somehow find consensus in terms of trading. Where did they go? They go to China. And China offer them a better one than that of the American. You see?
Yeah.
And you know, Trump has pledged that any country that align itself with BRICS, he's going to have to fight them because he doesn't want to let go the standards of the world reserve currency. Being the USA dollar. That is what he said.
Yeah.
And it's not only China.
Yeah.
Brazil also. And the USA has got a deficit when it's against Brazil. And what did the Brazil do? They went to China.
Now, is US going to win this war? This trade war, or how is it going? I'm still asking you the same question to say, how is the future looking like apart from now countries aligning with BRICS? Are we seeing an isolation of the West, or are we seeing coming to the knees and saying, no, guys, let's continue trading?
Definitely, if they keep on going on with this path, obviously, they are going to be isolated. Yeah, because the West makes up 14% of the world population.
And
if you careful watch at least in the UN General Assembly right now, all leaders speak about the multilaterals.
I hear you.
Multipolar.
Definitely.
When they talk about multipolar or multilaterals, they talk about BRICS. It is BRICS that actually special that part.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So, and we are not supposed to be afraid because we have got the number, we have got the market.
Yeah.
We have, when you have the numbers, you have the market.
Mm.
When you have the market, we have the commodities also as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the commodities are the ones that runs the world, especially the oil. No. The West doesn't have anything. So why should we be afraid?
Mm. Because you know,
so, you know, like for Trump.
Yeah.
It's a
weapon. You are cutting neck. Hello?
On top of the existing one.
Yeah.
He plays others. The reciprocal one.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Because he's actually under the impression that the market only exists in America. No. What is the population of America?
Is it not beyond 300?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it is just 340 there around.
Yeah.
What he's actually trying to do right now,
mm-hmm.
Because of the formations of BRICS, what he's trying to do is to strengthen like developing countries, like small countries that are already have debt, not to get the USA dollar so that they can service their debt. So that they can go back to them and say, look, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What should we do? Then they tell, no, look, you go and borrow money from the IMF,
or
from the World Bank, and then keep them hostage or keep them hostile so that you can't move anyway.
Yeah.
You are within the dollar.
Yeah.
You have to buy the dollar in order for you to go and do trade.
Hmm.
And that's all.
And the other one is
to prevent BRICS. Yeah. That's why you see countries that really align. Look at South Africa, look at Brazil, and look at India.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Mm.
It's actually being used as a weapon for BRICS country to submit.
Yeah.
And say, we are not going anywhere. We are going to be with you, Daddy. We are here. Please.
Now let us look at South Africa, because there is a bill in the U.S. Congress that they are saying if they happen to extend, for example, AGOA, South Africa is not going to be there, because South Africa is too much aligning with Russia and China, and it's against U.S. foreign policy. My question is here: where are we going to stand as Namibia? Because we are still a smaller nation, and we still need both partners. And we are at this at the center of this. What do you think Namibia should do in this regard, especially when our big brother is going to be punished?
We always have that fear.
but it's a useful fear.
You have to endure fear. We have to endure suffering in order for you to win. For as long as you know, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I said, the USA itself does not possess any economical impact, although even if we are trading with them. Look at us. Here we are.
Yeah, I think we are just, we are trading.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you. We are trading, I think, less than 5%, I think, or something.
Again?
I think
our trading is about, is it not only, what do we trade as to the USA? Meat.
Yeah, even
about 5 billion a year, I think, or so.
Yeah. No, I know we are, you are correct, we are less than 8%, I think, but the impact will come from SA. That is the fear.
Even the Brazilians.
Oh, what did they say? Yeah.
And the Indians, what did they say?
Yeah.
Go back, go to BRICS. You know, I have this problem.
Yeah.
of us being in debt with the USA for such a long time.
But we are not
getting... even if we don't get anything, we still believe that one of the great day, one of day,
yeah,
we will get something out of that.
Yeah.
But we don't get... Look at our leaders. Eh? Our leaders, each and every... we get different leaders. They run and they have this perceived belief that... the only way to industrialize your country,
mm-hmm,
is to go out there to the Western Hemisphere,
yeah,
and invite investors to come and, yeah, invest in our country. Yet we leave investors in our country, and yet they don't show any economical impact,
yeah,
practically on the ground. We leave them here, we go and look for others. Who owns our mine? Are they not investors?
Mm. Yeah, but I hear you.
Who owns our mine? Are they not investors, those that owns our mine?
No, they are investors. They are. So, I want to ask a question, because remember, there is this aspect to say, in global affairs, whether we agree or disagree, at some point we must work with each other rather than dividing. Because if we pursue that thing of BRICS only, we are going back to Cold War. But balancing the issue or telling international players to say, let us balance international institutions, to say, let us reform, for example, WTO, IMF, and let us work the other proposal of the UN. Well, what do you think about that? Or do we just need to cut the plug?
No, we don't necessarily cut the plug.
Yeah.
We must just have alternatives and try and find out which one will work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the founders of the BRICS also said, because the other one is actually being used it's weaponized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
either
right,
you submit to our policies or you don't do it. And you really need to distinguish here. Last time I told you about the world of democracy and the world of communism and socialism.
Yes, yes.
There is a huge, huge difference there in terms of economical impact.
I hear you.
What do we have, us Africans? What do we have? Is there any success African country that has been reading the countries in terms of industry? What do we have?
No.
We don't have industry here in Africa. But yet again, the communist countries are the one that again comes and bring us alternative. And they were the one that were actually isolations. And we were under the impression that they won't be able to come up with something. But look at them.
No,
look at Russia.
I hear you.
Look at, you see?
I hear you. And you mentioned a very important thing to say, BRICS is an alternative, because even when they are having BRICS conference, they are inviting the UN to, they are explaining to say, this is not the, we are not fighting against the West. This
the
is
dollar
a,
or
yeah,
the USA.
Yeah, this is an alternative against.
But the USA is fighting BRICS. What are they preventing?
Yeah. No, I hear you. We have around one minute, just your final input on this matter. 1 minute, especially to, I want your advice to go to these trade analysts and trade advisors also, because they play a key role in advising those who are, you know, who are in charge, especially when it's coming to trade matters. What is your last 1 minute, view?
They must just pursue a path of alternative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we cannot just rely on one.
Yeah.
Here we are actually being imposed tariffs, simple just because one is preventing other countries to develop their country. You know, these policies of saying, no, you cannot build a nuclear power station, a reactor, a civil one, you can't build it. It's within the foreign policies of the Westerners collectively, but they have. And that is an industry on itself. And that is what we are actually looking for, an alternative. We need to have two system usable in place so that we can have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the words spoken by
I think
the former president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, yeah.
for people to think when Chombe is my enemy, then he should be enemy of everybody.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be like that. There is something that you don't have that I can get it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So give me that choice.
I hear you. So,
yeah.
So with time, thank you for input. Thank you for your content.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, we always value contribution. We always value those who contribute. And it's quite a very important observation to say, let us move to BRICS, and the BRICS should not be a punishment, but it's an alternative. So,
Lipura nengelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa.
Yes, that is already telling you that this the time is 8 a.m. and we have to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And yeah, from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your contribution, and bye-bye for now.